As he read that scripture, they rushed in and said, come quickly, she's about to die. One young girl in the church. And she went, and he went there. And the doctor said, can't you see the ways of God? The girl was convulsing, febrile. And the man said, this is not the ways of God, it's the work of the devil. The doctor looked at him like, you done the Chris. I'm not joking. He said, you are beside yourself. And the doctor walked out. And the man said, this is the work of the devil and I'm about to tackle it. He had never seen anybody pray for the sick. He read that scripture, prayed for that young girl, and she went into a deep sleep. And he waited. After a while, she woke up. Her fever had died. The convulsion had stopped. She was perfectly well. Are you following my point? And he said, the girl said, I'm really tired. And the man said, I'm sure you're very hungry too. And the girl said, yes. He got a cup of, what do you call tea? And bread. Gave the girl, fed her until she was strong and rose up well. Then he went around everywhere. Nobody he visited died. His job now was to kick plague out of anywhere he saw it. John G. Lake tapped into his anointing and used to, you put anything on his skin, he dies. Look, listen, they came out of a background. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when the man will see a doctor, he's like, look at these helpless, useless people that couldn't cure anybody of plague. We have discovered the real cure. They are still holding people in bondage. To them, they felt the doctors were only holding people in bondage. They never saw them as a help for anybody. Just by the way, Luke was called the beloved physician. He was not the devil. No, Luke could not have come to the congregation. He would drive you away. You must renounce medicine first. Sometimes when we are judging things, we don't understand. I've said it before. God gave the laws. Let me not even digress to that. Some of the laws of handling money in Israel was based upon, it was out of the wickedness of their hearts. For God to say, if you see your neighbor's cattle in a ditch, you must rescue it. You must know the people are wicked. The people were wicked. Say, God told the children of Israel not to cut their hair. They were coming out of Egypt where they worshiped the sun and they worshiped the moon. And the men, you go and check it, the way the secular hair they used to carry was a reflection of the gods that they worshipped. I hope you are following what I'm saying. Why did I tell that story, the story of those men? Because of people's backgrounds. Alright? Now, let me, before I go to their background matter, don't forget, they got the results they got because they were not obeying anybody. It was what the Spirit breathed into their souls at that time. They walked by those things. Are you getting my point? And they got the results of God because they were walking strictly by faith. Instead of teaching us, I'm planning to do on prayer. It's supposed to be for radio, all right? Just explain what I'm trying to say. I said, there's a prayer of faith. The Bible says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. I read it one day. I said, wait. There's prayer of faith. What are the other types of prayer? There's prayer of imitation. We think prayer is just a prayer of faith versus prayer of doubt. Yes, it's true. But the doubt has different types. There's prayer of habit. This is the time I pray. I was taught that you must pray between 5 and 5:30. That's prayer what? Of habit. There's prayer of copycat, imitation. That is, you've heard one man pray. He raises his voice and thunders loud. That's how he gets results. So when you want to pray, you raise your voice and thunder loud. And speak tongues that don't exist. The man you are copying, his tongues came out of the bowels of the Spirit. So when you pray, your own prayer is a prayer of what? Imitation. There's prayer of desperation. There's nothing else to do. We don't believe in God. We don't give a damn about Him. But now that nobody else can help us, let us pray. That's prayer of what? Desperation. But the one that God hears is a prayer of what? Faith. What is faith? Faith is that which is born out of a relationship and out of understanding. I hope you follow what I'm saying. I explained that issue that, so what we do a lot of times, we want who to copy. You know, you get my point? We want to copy somebody. Let me not go back to what I was saying. So these men, they acted out of faith. They did not act out of imitation. Oh, there's prayer of show. I didn't add that one to it for you. You know, they call prayer of show. Jesus described it. The Pharisees, they love to make a show. That's prayer of show. So a lot of times, people are just, they are obeying. They want to please the pastor. Unfortunately, God does not confirm the pleasure of the pastor. It must be by what? Faith. What is faith? That which I have become persuaded about. And I told that a lot of times, I don't like counseling. No, you say, pastor, I want to see you. First thing I look at, do I know you? If I don't know you, I know they counsel you. Yeah, you know my reason? Human beings just want to just tell us what to do. Okay, now that you have heard everything, what should I do? So I'll just tell you what to do. You that I'm meeting for the first time. I should tell you what to do. I don't know what's worrying you before now. I should tell you what to do. Why I counsel those that I know is that at least I know we have been talking for a long time. We're on the same page. We are thinking alike. We know the same God. We are looking at him in the same manner. So maybe now you don't have, you need clarification on some things. Now I can now, you know what I'm saying? We're already talking before then. So in 15 minutes, I can hear the issue. I don't have to explain everything I'm saying to you. I quickly bring forth the word of God and you quickly receive it. That's why I don't like counseling strangers. If I don't counsel strangers, I don't like it. The reason, like I was saying, is because when basic things have been laid in your heart, a lot of those times, those questions will answer themselves. Now, let me take one as an example. They say, is it right for Christians to save? As a matter of fact, this guy does not save. Yeah. That's me. Why? Because sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. I'm not a waster. If my wife tells me, say, you think they calculate? I say, yes. Jesus said, who is it that wants to build the tower that will not first sit down and do quantity surveying, calculation, costing? Do you get my point? Yes. I said, but you see, I have certain doctrines which are situated in my mind already. I am not afraid of tomorrow. If you give me 100 million naira today, I will save. You know why? I probably won't be able to spend it immediately. And once you don't spend it, it's saving. No, it's so. Are you getting my point? Now, listen to me. You must first understand what I understand for me to give you an instruction. Don't save. Because if you're afraid of tomorrow, and that is the reason why you save, I have not yet cured you of the fear of tomorrow, and I tell you don't save, listen, my friend, you will suffer. Are you getting my point? People say, this is for the rainy day. I don't believe in it. Why? Because I am persuaded concerning the words of Jesus. Take no thought for the rainy day. Let me assume that it's a matter of strength or faith. Except you have imbibed that strength of faith. Oh boy. Buy umbrella. It might soon start raining. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Therefore, nobody can come and say, a Christian should not save. You can't say that. In Christianity, we build our doctrines in our hearts. Now, let me get back to where I started, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We should go back there. That's why Solomon said, take hold of one and don't just throw away the other one. Because what we are trying to strike in life is what? A balance. Do you get my point? God doesn't have this law of thou shalt save, thou shalt not save. He doesn't have it. It is sufficient unto the day is what? The evil thereof. Let me ask you a question. Now, I said that I don't save, right? Let me give you an example. Let's assume that my house rent, all right, is, let's say for a year, let's assume, all right, is 10,000 naira, all right? And I earn, let's assume, 8,000 naira in a month. And now listen to me. I know my rent is due 1st of December. And we are in maybe 31st of August. So I'm collecting August salary, September salary, October salary before the rent is due, before the end of that, maybe, let's assume 1st of November, right? And somebody says that, I don't save. Fine. I'll give you another scripture. That is wrong to owe. So which one are you going to obey? Do you get my point? You know, let me tell you something. Even with the one that says, I don't save for rainy. No, I don't. But if I were that, if I were you, that's if it's me, this is what I would do. The month, 2 months before that, I start spending far less than I used to spend. And you know me, I believe in giving to the work of the ministry. But I ain't giving my house rent to any work of any ministry. Those who have that faith, they should go ahead. I know some people don't like what I'm saying. Pastor Mark, what do you mean? I'll tell you what I mean. Sufficient unto the day is the house rent thereof. Who told you that the money he gave me is for that work that you, the pastor, want to collect it for? I think it is for the landlord. Let God come and separate the quarrel. Settle the quarrel. You say this is for the work of God. I say, paying the landlord. You think he's the devil? You see, let me tell you something about Christianity. People, they like to like this one moment. Hey, I just showed that Seder on the day of the last. Listen, my friend, you're very stupid. The problem, you don't know how to plan. Planning is not against Christianity. If you are earning 10,000 naira a month, and your rent is 200,000 naira per annum, you are a crazy fellow. Something's wrong with you. If you are earning 10,000 naira a month, that is in a year, what's your salary? 120K. You now went to rent a house of 150,000 naira per annum. You're not working by faith, you are working by stupidity. Let's tell ourselves the truth. You know, people just want to hear, this is right, this is not right. You are a total human being. There are many issues that cause you to start behaving the way you are behaving. I was in Asaba. It was a business seminar for this and that, but I came as a Bible teacher, but I leaned my teaching towards business things. So I said that, look, you must try and help people. Like, I don't have all the time, so let me just summarize what I want to say. I say you must try and help people. That if you come to the market and you are selling this book, all right, for maybe they are selling it for 30 naira. A customer say, please, I'm looking for Pastor Banky's book. This is faith, all right? There's no book like that. It's just a tract, all right? And I say, sit down. I'm coming. Then you go to your neighbor who's selling for 30 naira. You collect and bring and say it is 35. Is that a sin? Now, that was the question. I said, let's stop arguing whether it is a sin or it is not. It's a simple question. Will you like anybody to do that one to you? Answer it now. You haven't worked. You have deceived somebody. I said, why don't you just simply say, I don't have. Go down the line. So one woman now asked a question. She said that, sir, let us assume you normally sell your own for 35. Are you getting the point now? And the person comes. Normally, if you had, you would have sold for 35. What is now wrong with going to go and collect it at 30 naira and giving the person for 35? You know, there are questions when you first hear it, you know you need the Holy Ghost to decode. And just like I told you, I don't like all this here, yes and no answer. I asked you, when I was now going to answer, I said, number one, you are in a market, all right? You are a line of shops. Let's not discuss whether it is right or wrong. Let me first ask you a simple question. How did you manage to be in a row of shops and you are selling for 35 and other people are selling for 30? Please, I need an explanation first. Is it that your shop is finer or your own is different from their own? In which case, if it were different, you can't go down and collect their own. You'll be cheating. I said, why on earth are you not trying to be competitive? Why is it that you are able to sell consistently for 35 naira where other people are selling for 30? Now, it sounds like obviously negative answers I'm expecting, but not necessarily. You could say, oh, I give warranty. For example, where I buy my electronics in Enugu, all right? I know where I can get some things cheaper. I know. The ceiling fans, they will sell for me for 3,002. If I drove down to Kenyatta, I'll get it for 2,008. But I always went back there. Say, Pastor Banky, why? It's simple. If it breaks down the next 6 months, I give it back to them. Are you getting what I'm saying? If somebody say, hey, air conditioner is 30,000, and I get to their shop, they say the last they're selling is 32,000, I buy their own. Because they have sold me a freezer before. 4 months into using it, it's packed up. I phoned them. They drove their truck to my house, picked up the freezer, and went away. They sold me a DVD player before. About 4 months after I've used it for a while. Ekene, this DVD player is not working. Say, Pastor, I beg, bring it. As I gave it to him, he picked another one without asking me any question. Then some people say, oh, guy, you shouldn't be picking, jump on top of him. In a power water, I put, Ekene didn't ask me any question. He just picked it, gave me another one. Now, what I'm trying to say is that, you see, so I can't just ask the woman, is it right? But if you are not giving any of those services, please ask yourself, would you like anybody to keep you in the dark while making that money on you for doing nothing? Are you seeing what I'm saying about Christianity? Balance is what we are trying to strike. When people would come with once in a while, they say, is this right or is it wrong? I say, Lord says there's no wrong or right answer to these things. Why did I bring another issue? Most of those things is a whole lifestyle we are examining in one moment. Therefore, something could be right for you and it is wrong for you. That's why he said, whatever is not of faith. Let me get back to that matter I was saying about husband. People think it is Christianity to be thoroughly impulsive. Again, we are not studying that in details. I will assume that Jesus had a plan. He used to know where he would go in advance. And the Bible says he will appoint his disciples 2 by 2 and send them to the villages that he himself is intending to come to. They will have gone ahead. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Then they will bring one man that has a headache. How long have you had this headache? He will say, sir, for the last 3 weeks. Philip will look in partner, say, 3 weeks, we can handle that. All right? Okay, come. Headache, go! And the headache will go. Then when the headache of 3 weeks has gone, they will go and bring somebody that had his own headache for 7 years. Headache, wait, or gotta come next week. I know, it sounds funny, but as a matter of fact, Jesus will now appear. Philip would now say, shh, that man with 7 year headache. Oga, don't come. So he said, I should go and meet him. He said, no, just touch the hem of that garment. Your headache is going. Thank you, sir. They reserved all the difficult cases for when Jesus will come. And Jesus knew. Before he said, a good pastor should be approachable. Why did Peter, James, and John block people from coming to see Jesus? And Jesus did not say, let them all come to me. This is that. Say, let the little ones come to me. Leave the uncles, the fathers, the aunties, the old people should stay outside. The little ones should come to me. Because if he doesn't do it like that, they will overwhelm him. Jesus had a plan. But Pentecostals thought that Jesus wake up in the morning and say, hey, Father, where do you want us to go today? Holy Spirit say, turn to your right. Go see the sick people there. No. He had a plan. He had a treasurer. Oh, he had a treasurer. He may have been a thief, but he was a treasurer. You think it was every time he needed food? He said, bring the bread. Say, James, how much bread did there? He said, God, now the one way you chop remained yesterday. How many of us want chop today? So we have some strange disciples around. We are 200. Bring it. Father, we thank you. Yeah, James, go and share it. My brother, we have record that I did that only 2 times. The other times, when they wanted to eat, when they got to the well, all right, in John chapter 4, he didn't say, bring me a grass. Let's speak to the grass. Let it turn to bread. Did he say so? What did he say? Go to the city and go and buy food while I wait. It was while he was waiting for them to go and buy that he met that woman. Are you getting what I'm saying? He had a plan. He knew the cities he would go to. He had a treasurer. They used to check, okay, we are traveling. How many of us are going? We are 25. Judas, or after you have stolen your portion, waiting remain. Can we be? That's why the Bible said, don't worry about anything. What am I trying to say? Because there are times that those plans won't work. He said, don't worry about that. Those times. But normally, you know, I keep on saying, listen, Christians, you are not impulsive. You know, I've seen pastors say before, as a Christian, once you go to church, you can give anything for God. When the pastor himself cannot plan. Look, I have never understood. I know how much you spend in Kingdom Word. I do. I don't just wake up one day and just say, those of us who are co-workers, you know, if we are planning to start this thing, we start announcing it. By next year, we are hoping to go on that radio station. And I always say something. I will watch how our cash flow goes. Listen to me. Those who have persuasion of faith to go and sign contract of paying 1 million naira a month, when last year they could not pay 50,000 naira a month, it is according to their faith. I won't quarrel. The only thing is that don't come to me one day and say, this was for the gospel, we signed the contract. Now, the first 2 months, we can't pay anymore. Pastor Banky, how can you help us? That one, I will tell you the truth. Because if it was only by faith, God will show up. If God is not showing up, oh boy, it's not by faith, it's by impulsiveness, an unrestrained spirit. The Bible says that the man who can control his spirit is better than one who takes a city. A Christian, you can't afford to be impulsive. Do you know why the whole world went into economic crisis? Because of Americans. Americans, they are the number one shopping nation on the world. I hope you know that. On this earth, they are the number one shopping. They can buy. They can buy. All they do is buy. So this is what they do. After everybody has bought television, they will make a new model. They will now tell you, you have a 40-inch LCD TV. You've used it for 1 year. They know it should last you 5, 6, 7, 8 years. 1 year after you've used it, they say, we now have the new 41.5-inch LED TV, which is twice the cost of the 40-inch LCD you bought just last year, that you don't have to worry. Take it now and pay later. Men can't control their spirits, so they take it now. When they are supposed to pay later, they forget that that's how they took car now to pay later. They took house now to pay later. Took shoe now to pay later. Took television now to pay later. Took bread now to pay later. All of them now come up in one day and say, pay. And when they can't pay, they start calculating interest from the day they collected it last year. What am I saying? It is not good for a man to be impulsive. A Christian should plan. Therefore, if you plan, you know you are paying this landlord 10,000 naira in next month, and you are going to collect only 8,000 naira this month, common sense tells you to remove 5,000 now. And please, I'm begging you, don't let anybody come and entice you, say, just give that 5,000. It's to the Lord. Then the day of the rent, the Lord will pay it. Last week, I was in Oshogbo. I preached this message. And there was a brother who wanted to buy a car for 2 years. Then he gave the money as an offering. And the very next day, the car was paid for. The other week, I was in Yugoslavia. And they wanted... And then after I tell the story like 7 times. Now you see all the jagudas and ignorant people. We rush forward. School fees. House rent. Children's school fees. You put everything together. And after the man has gone, do not start asking people, say, when you have sowed your seed, how do you water it so that it can germinate? I say, go and meet the man who preached that one to you. It's not me. Now, let me finish what I'm saying. Let me ask you a question. You've gathered 10,000 naira. Landlord is supposed to come in 2 days' time. Suddenly, as you're about to come out, your wife says, this boy has been febrile. Now he's convulsing, and that's your son. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Pastor Banky said, you should plan. Jesus said, you should plan. But it is forbidden that you should plan for a boy to fall sick. And there's no health insurance working properly right now in Nigeria. And you don't go to a church where they say you can't take medicine. And if you, even though you can take medicine, you can have faith, it's not that you start practicing it. Let us assume you don't have enough, you now go to hospital. And the doctor say, did one or two tests. He said, to cure this boy now, we can do it very easily. But, Oga, 8,000 naira, start. Let me ask you a question. Are you now going to say, I have reserved this for the landlord? That landlord will not tell you that. You know, you see, I'm deliberate. I told you when I finish, you'll be confused a bit. He said, hey, Pastor Banky, that is how you should have given it for the work of the ministry that day. I don't agree. That was not an emergency. The pastor, he wants to evangelize the Enugu. Is he going to do it one day? My landlord will warn. It's more urgent. I'll give you the month after that. By the way, I plan my giving is systematic. Do you get my point? But why I told that story that there are times emergencies now come up. It now turns everything you have planned upside down. And that's when we know we really walk by the Spirit. At that time, Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry. Your heavenly Father knew this boy was going to fall sick today. And he led you to this doctor that can cure him. Because maybe you can't stand by yourself and just rebuke the fever. Give him the 8,000 naira. Your rent, you will not have any problem with it. Let's forget your sick son. What about a minister, a preacher now, truly? It happens. He also shows up. This time around, he really has a problem. And you really have the solution. And you either pay your landlord or let this man suffer and die. You reason. Okay, bro, take this 8,000. And you go to the landlord and say, sir, I know I'm supposed to pay your money today. Your money was complete. Please, avoid telling stories. It's irritating. It was complete. But I can't explain to you what really happened. But I'm promising, here is 2,000 naira. Just give me to the end of the month. Listen to me. Should Christians borrow at such times, please, get up, borrow. I have worked in places, a particular place I have in mind. We didn't pay staff for 3 months. And I walked to the financial manager, our accountant. I said, me, you, the admin manager, the MD, and the other doctor. Our salaries are relatively huge. As a matter of fact, what only I was being paid was enough to pay at least 6 of the auxiliary. In all honesty, let me give it to you fact. What only I was being paid would pay 10 of the auxiliary nurses. They had these half-trained people they called auxiliary nurses. Those days in Lagos. I hope the nurses have stopped that thing now. They had them then in Lagos. So I told the man, I said, please, why don't you just borrow from the banks that we service enough money to pay the Megad, pay all these small girls that you call auxiliary nurses that hang around here. Leave the matron. She's a proper nurse. Her own salary too was big. I said, just these small people. And the man said, doc, that's very true. I said, you boost their morale. I said, we will wait. We can manage until we have enough money to pay everybody. This was a 2 month salary was packed up. A third month was coming up. He said, it's true. Let me talk to the MD. Then he went to the MD. The MD happens to go to a faith church. One of these are our faith churches. He said, no, I will never borrow. I'm above a loan. I'm not beneath. I will never borrow. He said, I look at the man in my heart. Okay, if I punch you now, the same person they punch elder, you will never borrow. The one you have done, now what is it called? You are owing 3 months salary almost. What is that? That's not borrowing. You have borrowed their labor. And God commanded, that the wages of the laborer that works for you must never stay overnight beyond the day in which you're supposed to pay. Those days, just like today, laborers were paid daily. The idea that never, God said it was against the law to tell a laborer, come back tomorrow. You will never borrow. But this one you have done, what is it called? I said, this is when people obey laws. They don't have an understanding of the Spirit of God. A sensible person will say, Habba. All these young people that work with you, am I telling the girls to come and become part-time harlots? How would they come to work? He will go, borrow a bit of money. I mean, I offer to be excluded. What more do you want? You are paying how much? He said, I will never borrow. Meanwhile, Jaguda has borrowed from all the poor people who can't talk. You have borrowed their labor. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. I knew I wouldn't finish this today, so we'll continue. Because I was talking about, should Christians use common sense? If you say no, then I will tell you, next time you want to cross the road, close your eyes. People like to tell stories of one man crossed the road with his eyes closed and God did not kill him. It is true. Jesus walked on water. Did he sink? No. But how many times did he walk on water? How did he use a cross? Not be bold. We want to take things that are exceptions to the rule. We want to make them the normal rule. So you see people who are irresponsible. You see a man come to his house. Praise God. I'm giving testimony in church. I've told you, if I pass off a church, that can, anyway, you won't even make it to the pulpit. That day, my children were supposed to go to school. I just said, no, this building must be completed. So I took their school fees and gave to a building project. There's no building project that's an emergency. If it was an emergency, we'll go and cut grass and use it for a thatched roof. I said, since that time, God has been blessing me. I go, look and say, if I slap you now, they say, Pastor Frank is wicked. No, Christians don't live impossibly. We don't. We are responsible. We plan. That's why, for those of us who are co-workers here, you know, I say, listen, if you're a co-worker here, I must see your offering to the ministry every month. The minimum is how much? Co-workers, how much? Has it increased to 50? Okay, minimum monthly is what? 50 naira. And the maximum is what? 10 million naira. Can you see the range? What does that tell you? We have no this thing or whatever. But the point is that I said if you're a co-worker, you must look. You can't say you're a co-worker. I mean, you don't give when you like. You eat when you're hungry. Is that not so? In that same way, if you earn a salary, an allowance, whatever it is, it comes to you once a month. Just set the one that your heart knows you can consistently give. If it's 50 naira, it's acceptable. If it's 500 naira, it's acceptable. People give different amounts. 1,000, 10,000. 50,000. I'm serious. Kingdom world here. Planned giving. Are you getting my point? When emergencies come, we just get up, we do it. We did not plan for it. But our lives are not lives of emergencies. I will continue to talk next time. I hope you have learned something today. Like I told you at the beginning, I knew I wouldn't answer all the questions. In fact, I'm going to put the responsibility upon you. To be impulsive is not Christianity. Christian can reason. A Christian can reason. But then we are not, again, tied to reason. That's the point. We are not a slave to reasoning. Once in a while, events will happen that will throw reasoning off balance. Then we hold on to our faith. Though I had planned to give my landlord this 10,000, but an emergency has come up. Fine. I will solve the emergency. Because sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. This one came before the date of that. And I trust that my God will do something. There are things that are just so strong in my mind I want to say. There are practical things. Should a Christian take insurance? We'll talk about it. Should a Christian wear seatbelt? There are two reasons why you should wear seatbelt. Number one reason is federal society will soon persuade you. But number two reason, and just by the way, let me just say this, Abeg. I hope you don't mind it. You know when you get to the bank, alright? You cannot park facing out. Every bank. That's the rule. You must park with your back to the gate. Because they don't want a getaway car ready to rob the bank. That's the principle. But you can get to the bank just to help you reason. And say, all the megas, they know me. I've seen people argue with police. If I had to beg the policeman, because the policeman wanted to arrest the guy in one bank that day, I had to call the policeman and say, please, don't mind this guy. He decreased for head. I now called the guy, say, listen, my friend. I had to tell sense to him because he felt that they know me here. Hey, I can park. I said, listen, they know you here. You are parked wrongly. Then somebody they don't know will come and see you as an example of wrong parking. The security man can't talk again. I said, listen, one of the reasons you that they know we do what is right is to allow them the freedom to tackle those they don't know. Why should you wear your seatbelt? I know you won't die in an accident. Amen. I know you believe your car won't jam, but give the road safety man less work. Let him catch those who are planning to die in an accident. But if you that have faith don't wear seatbelt, and all of us from Kingdom will say, no seatbelt again, no, because in our church, we believe that we will never die in accident. So, Kenneth Hagin, listen to me, never wore seatbelt all his life, apart from twice or so. He didn't used to wear. And before they made it a law. So, if I want to give an example of those who don't wear, I can. But listen, I wear seatbelts. The fear of road safety will make me wear seatbelts. And secondly, there are people that don't have my faith. Let me give the road safety man the time to handle him. By wearing my own seatbelt, he will have more time to handle the man who was going to die in an accident. See, Christianity, this we do, we know they do, it's hard. When we get the Spirit of God inside us, then we will know what to do. No man will say wear seatbelt or not wear seatbelt. We know what to do because we have the Spirit of Christ. I hope you've gotten my point.